I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun.
I'm so sorry that you had to hear that. Hi there. Welcome into the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and a bit of absurdity. Hoping that you are having a wonderful Wednesday, that you are happy to have made it to the midweek, and that things are looking good for you today. I'm a little bit, as usual, distracted. I'm trying to sort some things out here. I'm moving things around so I can make room for audio clips. I was scrambling around trying to get things done before we got started, and looked up, and it's like 30 seconds before we start. And I just can't get it all done. There's just too much. Anyway, hi there. You doing good? I hope you're doing well. I hope that that life is treating you well, and if it's not, that you're kicking it back, because it deserves it, doggone it. It just deserves it. It is the midweek edition of the podcast. It's the 19th day of February 2020, and today is a packed day for me. In fact, as soon as I get done with the recording of the podcast, I've got to get it processed as quickly and uploaded as quickly as possible, because I have to be somewhere exactly an hour after I get through here, and that place is 40-something minutes away. So I'll be scrambling. Plus, I have video gear to load in the car. I've got all kinds of stuff to get done that just... I wasn't going to do last night in the rain, and so it's got to get done today. So I will be a busy, busy boy today. I have another podcast session this afternoon. I have a workout, then I have video, and I have I'm helping somebody get a car to the shop, and a handful of other things. And it's just I'm just going to be going all day long today outside the studio once we get through here. And hopefully you're listening to this sometime during the day today while I'm out there buzzing around like a squirrel on caffeine, because that's what today's going to be like. Wowzer, it is it's looking like a better day for us here where I live. It rained like crazy yesterday. I kept looking for a boat full of animals to float by the house yesterday. It's just been that way. We're already 10 inches over the normal rainfall levels for this time of the year. So we have flooding, we have all kinds of stuff happening around here, and it's crazy. And if you live in an area that is getting a lot of rain and you have pine trees, like we have a lot of them here in the South, and there are pine trees all over the place. In Florida, they have longleaf pines. Here we have not longleaf pines, but the root systems are so shallow that when the ground becomes saturated and soft, pine trees just fall over. Like, oh, I can't stand up. And they fall over. And they fall on houses. They fall on cars. They fall on power lines. I just do yourself a favor and get rid of them. I mean, we have none left on our property anymore. We had one fall off into the woods beside the house. We had one fall on the house a couple of years ago. And they get old, they get brittle, and limbs fall off of them and damage things. And it's just, they're not worth it. Just eliminate them, pay what it takes and get rid of them. Because trust me, it's a lot less to have a tree specialist come to your house and eliminate a pine tree than it is to fix the roof and the deck and things. And that's what happened to us, was we had a pine tree fall diagonally across the rear corner, one rear corner of our house. It took out the storage. We have a storage shed that's actually a build-on. It's built onto the end of the house. It took out the porch of the storage shed, part of the roof of the storage shed, and took the stairs off of the end of our deck, and it damaged railing and all kinds of stuff. It tore the fence up over there, and it was bad. We had to have somebody come out and, you know, and fix everything. There's insurance. That's good. But trust me, just go ahead and have that dealt with. Otherwise, you may wake up in the middle of the night after a big loud thud and you've got a pine tree in your living room. You just don't want that happening. Well, that's my advice for today. Hey, happy Wednesday. I either need more caffeine or less. One of the two. Yikes. What a day I've got ahead. Well, I've been looking through the list of things today, and I actually don't have a huge mongoose list to go through today, but I still won't make it through all of it. And as you know, I like to start off with something absurd. So if you don't mind, and if you do mind, it doesn't matter because I'm doing it anyway. Let's start off with a little bit of absurdity. I don't know if you saw this story. It is from 6 days ago. You may have seen it. You may not have seen it. Honestly, I only saw it in one place, and I filed it. Oh, that's precious. I'll get to that in a little while. And so I'm getting to it. Here we are. The politicians running the Canadian government. This is coming from MRC TV, by the way. It's the Media Research Council. The politicians running the Canadian government sure do seem dedicated to showing folks in other nations how to build the road to serfdom and lead the way in the decline of Western civilization. In 2016, they passed the bill, now statute, C-16, which mandates that all state employees or people working at businesses regulated by the Canadian government, and that's pretty much all, must use pronouns that others tell them to use. So if somebody wants you to address them as them, they, or whatever, you have to. As insane as that is, you have to cater to the lunacy. Well, then there came the revelation that their social justice warrior poster boy Prime Minister Justin Trudeau once wore brownface to a costume party, which is supposed to be verboten among social justice warriors. And just this month, we've discovered that the Canadian government interrogated rebel news publisher and reporter Ezra Levant because he wrote a book about Trudeau and his troubles. Now comes word that the president of a government-funded feminist group is not only describing heterosexual relationships as violent, but that there ought to be a conversation, that is, there ought to be a statute passed by the government, a conversation about banning heterosexual relationships. See, when politically minded people say, quote, we need to have a national conversation, end quote, about something, they really mean what is currently not under the sphere of political mandates and controls should be placed in that sphere of mandates and controls. Thus, Canadian CTV News reports that Gabrielle Bouchard, the president of Fédération des Femmes du Québec, it's a Canadian feminist group that receives $120,000 of cash from the government annually. And they write their stuff in French, by the way. It's supposed to be more socially aware, I guess. They recently said on social media, heterosexual couple relationships are really violent. In addition, the vast majority are relationships based on religion. It may be time to have a conversation about their ban and abolition. I'm just pausing here to give you time to enjoy the vast number of insulting and downright absurd assumptions in that paragraph. Okay, so let's think about that. First, we have the stunning absurdity that romantic relationships, as they imply, of any kind are anything other than consensual. And why focus on just hetero relationships? By their nature, the act of entering into a loving relationship is voluntary, so it can't be predicated on violence. Of course, violence can erupt in such relationships, but entering into an agreement to be together is an act of free will. Once said relationship becomes a situation where one person keeps the other in it against his or her will, then it becomes violent. Ironically, since it's only when aggressive force is involved to pull another into it or keep another in it that a relationship becomes violent, we can logically understand that it's the government to which these feminists would turn to for their ban. It's the government that forces on us a never-ending violent relationship. That's why it's called the state and not society. The state is involuntary. while ethical social relationships are, by definition, voluntary. And God forbid anyone enter into a relationship based on religion. Perhaps the most stunning thing about this social media statement, apart from the fact that of the call for authoritarian relationship bans could apply to any kind of relationship once that Pandora's box is opened, is that the group Bouchard is president of gets $120,000 in tax dollars forcibly taken by the government from others to give to them. And yet, in her self-righteous social justice warrior way, she's completely blind to her own hypocrisy. A couple of things. First, she focuses on straight relationships, heterosexual relationships. Do you know many gay people? Do you know many people in the gay community? If you do, then you're aware that emotions and tempers flare quite often in those relationships. Now, I'm not saying it's all relationships, but I am saying that if you know people in the gay community, you know that their relationships tend not to last a long time. Those that do are the rare exception. There are emotional issues. There are stability issues. And very often there are violence issues. And those are always ignored because that's a precious victim group that progressives want to defend. And they deny the realities of what's going on in order to protect them. And as usual, when progressives protect a certain group, they ignore laws, they ignore societal norms, they ignore everything that would actually benefit that group. Another thing, banning heterosexual relationships. Well, if you ever worried about Canada becoming a problem to deal with for the United States, our northern neighbor, and it's not, it hasn't been, but because it's becoming a more and more overtly socialist nation, someday it could very well be a problem. If this nut job gets her way, we won't have to worry about that. Because if Canada bans heterosexual relationships, the only way the population of Canada is going to grow is by people moving there. And those people can't be in a heterosexual relationship if this nut job gets her way. So, essentially what she's asking for is the elimination of the nation of Canada. Because heterosexual relationships are what produce babies. That's what causes your population to grow. That's what keeps your nation alive. Even if your population is just replacing one person for each one who passes away, if you ban heterosexual relationships, your nation is going to vanish. And that's just one example of how insane this kind of thinking actually is. There's no thought for reality. There's no consideration of real life. It's all about theory and about what if, and it's all about punishing some group of people because you perceive they're oppressing you and you're a victim. And here we are back to the core of progressivism again. The appeal to victimhood. Without a victim class, there can be no progressivism. Because without somebody to be heroes for, there can be no progressive politicians. Because that is what everything is built upon. It's all built upon the victim class. And here we see this president of a government-funded feminist group in Canada is so detached from reality that she is calling for a national conversation on heterosexual relationships. she's ignoring the violence in homosexual relationships and trying to convince everyone that the real problem is with the straight people. If you're getting the impression that this is childish, you're correct. Much of what comes from the left is childishness. Which is why it's a good thing when the adults in the room sit up and say, "Stop that nonsense and go to your room." As someone should to this woman. And then someone should start a group that bans the funding of groups like this with their tax dollars. You think that'll ever happen? Nah, me neither. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective Podcast. It's the midweek edition, the Wednesday edition, February 19th, 2020. Mark Congleton here. You're there. Not a bad situation. Just relax. I'll drive. Talking about Bloomberg. Not Bloomberg. That's coming up next. This whole situation with banning heterosexual relationships in Canada. The one upside that I can think of, I mean the seriously an upside, that is that the population of Canada would drop. And all of those celebrities who swore they were leaving the United States if Donald Trump won would have someplace to go. And they would be doing a good thing for another country. They would be replenishing their population. The problem with that, the only problem with that that I can see is that all of those people, those Hollywood types, those guys are all breeding like rabbits. So they're not breeding, but they are behaving a lot like rabbits. I mean, you know, if you get my drift. Yep. Well, speaking of Michael Bloomberg, former New York mayor, city mayor Michael Bloomberg, the guy who banned the Big Gulp, is surging in both national and state polls. Among them, a pair of new Nevada Democratic presidential polls where his spike in support has just qualified him for tonight's Democratic presidential debate in Las Vegas. Yes, my friends, there is another Democrat debate. You thought you had it. Thank God they're behind us. No, there's another one. With billionaire Bloomberg gaining momentum, President Trump has yet again sounded the alarm for current frontrunner Senator Bernie Sanders over his crooked party's attempt to take the nomination from him again. As reported by the New York Times yesterday, Bloomberg's performance in a new Nevada poll has officially pushed Bloomberg into the Las Vegas debate tonight, giving the former Republican mayor his first chance to face off against his Democratic rivals. A national poll from NPR, PBS NewsHour, and Marist released yesterday showed Mr. Bloomberg with 19% support among Democrats and Democratic-leaning independents, putting him in second place behind Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, who had 31%, according to the Times. That was a substantial surge since the group's poll in December, when Mr. Bloomberg received only 4% support. As the Times explains, the new poll is the fourth national qualifying poll since mid-January that showed Bloomberg with at least 10% of the Democratic vote, enough to earn him an invitation to the debate stage before the deadline of 11:59 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday. The Associated Press reports Bloomberg's qualification for Nevada follows the DNC recently dropping its campaign contributions requirement for candidates to qualify for debates, opening the door for Bloomberg to be on stage and drawing the ire of some candidates who dropped out of the race for failing to make prior stages. They should be upset about that. But this is typical for the Democrat Party, the DNC, changing the rules in midstream. After feeling like the DNC torpedoed their candidate in 2016, Bernie supporters have criticized the rule change, suspecting more machinations by the establishment against the radical senator. Yesterday morning, Trump played on those suspicions, issuing a warning to Sanders, who came in an extremely close second in Iowa, won New Hampshire, and leads in some Nevada polls. Trump tweeted, "The crooked DNC is working overtime to take the Democrat nomination away from Bernie again." Remember, the DNC had a serious bias for Hillary Clinton, and they basically shafted Sanders back in 2016. He goes on to say, "Watch what happens to the superdelegates in round two. It's a rigged convention." Another new Nevada Democratic primary poll, this one by Monmouth, published yesterday morning, shows Bloomberg co-leading the race with Sanders, both candidates getting 22% support, while Vice President Joe Biden is third with 18. Bloomberg's 11th hour qualifications come amid the collapse in support for former frontrunners Biden and Warren, who both vastly underperformed in Iowa and New Hampshire primaries. Insiders say both candidates' campaigns are running on fumes financially. Bloomberg, who entered the race late, has been drawing from his estimated $60 billion in personal wealth to roll out a political ad blitz, which has helped him gain traction in the national polls, where he is rapidly looking like the consensus second-place candidate, including among those who bet for a living. And I think that's the core of all this, is that Bloomberg has spent $400 million already. And the lion's share of that, I think, going to media ads. He's been advertising everywhere, and you've heard me fussing about it. Not able to watch YouTube without seeing a Bloomberg ad. Not so much I've noticed in the last couple of days. Maybe his money ran out. Maybe something happened. But for a while there, you couldn't turn on the television or log online anywhere without seeing some sort of advertising for Michael Bloomberg. And he has thrown a lot of money at this. And I've complained about this too. He has made assertions in these ads that he's claimed to be able to do things he can't do. Because in order to make the changes he says he will make, he has to have the cooperation of the other two branches of government, which wouldn't happen because, by and large, what he wants to do is unconstitutional. And those who don't care about the Constitution, that is the Democrats, sure, they go along with him, but the Republicans won't, for the most part. And the Supreme Court, when things hit the Supreme Court, they would say, no, not constitutional. Thank God Trump has put conservatives on the court. So Bloomberg is promising to do things in advertising he can't really do. And he's spending money convincing people that he's the guy. And that says a couple of things. And he understands that throwing a lot of money at America and making them promises he can't keep will work, because the political process is that broken. The political process allows politicians to lie and lie and lie again in order to get elected. And the political process relies on the press to keep candidates honest. And the press is not honest. The progressive press leans progressive, supports progressive, and promotes progressive. And if they sense they could get a victory which will damage and possibly eliminate their enemy, and that is their word, by the way, the progressives see anyone who disagrees with them as an enemy. If they can eliminate their enemy, they're all in. And their enemy is you and your president. So something you have to remember is Michael Bloomberg is succeeding not necessarily because he's rich. He's succeeding because the progressives understand that he can take out their enemy. That's just something you have to remember. It's an ugly situation, but it's the one we have to face and we have to deal with right now. And who is behind this guy? Well, it makes you wonder, because the socialists, the people on the hard left, they're Bernie bros. They want Bernie Sanders because he is promising to bring socialism to America. Not so much publicly, but in the background, this is happening. It's a lot like when Obama was running and people were saying, oh, he's not going to do these things. Has he ever said this out loud? No, not on record, but everybody who's pushing him, they're all saying these things. And that happened. Remember the people who came forward and said they weren't going to have to worry about their mortgages and their car payments, that Obama was going to take care of them? It's because they were being promised things on the sly that Obama couldn't promise on the record. And that was because the people out there pushing for him, the people working the streets, the community organizers, if you will, were all telling those communities that Obama was their guy and he was going to take care of them and make sure they had nothing to worry about again. And the same thing is happening right now with the Bernie supporters. And that worries a certain segment of our society. And you might find that, when you find out who it is, you might find that kind of interesting. When you see that a certain segment of our society, which is actually an industry, is not supporting Bernie Sanders, even though everybody they employ is pretty much a Sanders supporter. We'll look at that after the break. That's coming up in just a couple of moments. Well, if you're on the podcast, it'll be right after this couple of pieces of bumper music. If you're on Facebook Live, you're going to be waiting for a couple of minutes. See, you should subscribe to the podcast.
I could teach anybody, even people in this room, so no offense intended, to be a farmer. It's a process. You dig a hole, you put a seed in, you put dirt on top, add water, up comes the corn.
I have a feeling farmers in America would disagree. Actually, they are disagreeing. And since that's become public, people are rising up and saying, oh, really? You clearly don't understand how much technology, how much information technology, how much computer technology is involved in farming today. You clearly don't understand. Of course he doesn't. That's Michael Bloomberg. And that's just one of the problems with Bloomberg today. One of many. And hi there. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective podcast. Good to have you along today. Hopefully you're having a great Wednesday. I mentioned before the break that there is a certain group, actually they kind of represent an entire industry, who are a little bit bothered about the possibility of Bloomberg, or actually of Bernie Sanders, becoming the Democrat nominee. And they're standing behind Bloomberg. And I thought it was interesting that this particular group was that way. But then when you look at the bottom line, this group is mainly, primarily, completely concerned with the bottom line. And someone with the loose grip on reality that Bernie Sanders has would be a threat to their bottom line. Who is that group? Hollywood executives. They're afraid Bernie Sanders will clinch the nomination and toss the Democrat Party into disarray. Democrats everywhere would be fighting amongst themselves. And Hollywood execs have expressed joy over the rise of former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg. In a lengthy report written by The Wrap, about a dozen Hollywood executives, few of which were willing to actually go on the record, said they back Bloomberg. They're happy to see a business-minded billionaire ascend to the Democratic Party ranks. One former studio chief said, "Of course people are relieved to have the option of Bloomberg. I would not want to have to vote for Trump." a Democrat donor, said if I had a wand and I could pick the nominee, it would be Bloomberg. It's a no-brainer. He'll be beholden to no one. Other executives believe that Bloomberg would be the best candidate to stand up to Trump in a debate and on Twitter, fearing that the other candidates would fold under the pressure. The Wrap reports that Bloomberg is particularly appealing to those who those entertainment insiders with roots in New York. Those people have almost a visceral dislike of Trump while crediting Bloomberg with accomplishing important things when he was mayor from 2002 to 2013. That in itself is very odd, because Bloomberg made some enemies during his time, that 11 years he was there in New York. Remember, Bloomberg is the guy behind Stop and Frisk, which, by the way, has been misrepresented to a degree, but still a bad idea. He's also the guy behind what I like to call the Big Gulp ban. Remember, he was the one who made it illegal to buy anything larger than a 16-ounce soft drink in New York. So you couldn't walk in, buy a burger, slice a pizza, and get a soft drink larger than 16 ounces. You couldn't buy a bottled soft drink larger than 16 ounces. Of course, if you wanted more, you could always buy two, which was one of the things I kept hearing pointed out. Well, that's just dumb. Just buy two. And savvy business people would say, hey, buy a second one for half price. Or whatever, you know, just in order to satisfy those people, to get around the Bloomberg sugar ban. So he did some crazy things when he was the mayor of New York. Many Hollywood Democrats, like party members nationwide, have an anyone but Trump position. They support their individual candidates, but they're mostly focused on defeating Donald Trump. One mid-level studio executive said she had attended a Bloomberg informational event, which was notable to her because, unlike other Democratic candidates coming through L.A., he wasn't raising money. She said she went to see what he's all about because we need someone who can beat Trump, and Bloomberg seemed like the guy who could do it. I know you're seeing the pattern here, that what's important is beating Trump, not what Bloomberg represents, not what he can do. Not what he may do. The bottom line is getting rid of Trump, because they're believing their own propaganda. LA-based investor Ross Gerber said that people are overall relieved to see Bloomberg get in the running. He was impressed by his outreach efforts. He said, I've been really impressed lately in the quality and reach of Bloomberg's social and transition media ads. He seems to get what he needs to do to get voters behind him. People are super happy to have a non-socialist who is business-friendly running for the Democrats. Bloomberg is crucial to beating Trump, as Bernie will not get the votes to beat Trump. I think Bloomberg is the best bet to unify the Democrats under a leader that can win and be great for America. Like I was saying beforehand, This Gerber guy is talking about his ads, being impressed with his ads. His ads, as far as the style, the production value, the way they're structured, what they say, what they do, they're good ads. Just strictly, if I look at things strictly from a production value and a quality perspective, he spent a lot of money on the ads. They look good. It's what he's promising and he can't deliver that's important. But that doesn't matter to people who just want to defeat Trump. They will accept the lies if the lies defeat Trump. Hollywood elites backing Mike Bloomberg over the other candidates will do little to help the party in the general election, given that Bernie Sanders' base has expressed an open antipathy towards billionaires buying the election. Progressive documentary filmmaker Michael Moore already said as much. The moment the DNC changed the rules so Bloomberg could participate in the presidential debates. Michael Moore said he doesn't have to show he has any support amongst the American people. He can just buy his way onto the debate stage. And I got to tell you, what is so disgusting about this, I watched the debate in Iowa 2 weeks ago. the all-white debate, and the fact that the DNC will not allow Cory Booker on that stage, will not allow Julian Castro on that stage, but they're going to allow Mike Bloomberg on that stage because he's got $1 billion. We are seeing yet another example of what the DNC really is. Remember, the DNC is it's a private company. They're running a campaign. They are trying to get someone elected. And more importantly, to remember, they're trying to defeat a president and everything the president stands for, which is everything you voted for. The promises made during the campaign, which he's delivering on. The things he promised he's actually delivering on. Contrast that with what Mike Bloomberg says he's going to do, which he can't deliver on. But he can sure buy expensive, expertly produced ads and claim that he can deliver. But he can't. Just remember that. Bloomberg, by the way, all of the stuff that's coming out about him, he's a horrible person. He has women who can't talk about what happened while they were employed by his company because they have non-disclosure agreements. He has others who have bucked the non-disclosure agreements and talked about the atmosphere they worked in and how horrible it was and why they had to leave. There are people who claim, there's one woman who claimed he told her when she announced that she was pregnant, he told her to kill it. There are others who say that there were race problems. There are others who say that the atmosphere working for the Bloomberg organization was just toxic. In essence, Michael Bloomberg is everything the Democrats say Donald Trump is. Donald Trump isn't those things, but Michael Bloomberg is. And they don't care. What they care about is defeating Trump. It doesn't matter that the man that they will pick to do it is vile, is nasty, and is everything they say is wrong with Donald Trump. They simply have to defeat Trump, and it doesn't matter that their guy is really a nasty piece of work. It doesn't matter. And that should tell you everything you need to know about the progressive movement and the Democrat Party. What matters to them is not you. What matters to them is not what's good for the country as you see it. What matters to them is power and control. Because they wholeheartedly believe that they are the only ones qualified to make the decisions necessary to run the country. They really believe they are a gift to this nation. And they can't believe that anyone would not see that. And those who don't see it and support other paths towards success are dangerous, are deluded, are stupid. And yes, that means you. They really don't think you're all that smart. And they think it's your fault that Donald Trump is in office. Well, they're right about that. I'll take the blame. Because I've looked at the situation and I realize these people are nuts. They're deeply disconnected from reality. They want something to happen that just can't happen. And they want to put into place here a system of government which has failed and victimized and murdered people by the millions around the world. Not just no. No way, never. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Diving into the final segment for this midweek edition, this Wednesday, February 19th. I'm looking at the last couple of stories I've got in my list here that I know that I can get to, and I'm flipping a coin to see which way to go first, and we're going this way. You remember that there were people from Puerto Rico who accused Trump of withholding all kinds of things, all sorts of aid from the people. And we found out recently that it was actually corrupt people in the government of Puerto Rico who were warehousing all of this aid. They were hiding it. They hid all of this aid from people. The people in need. And the people were angry. They were angry, rightfully angry about it. And it didn't get an awful lot of play here in the U.S. The media didn't want to spend that much time on it because it proved Trump was right. Because Trump was saying, yeah, well, the government there is corrupt. We're doing everything we can, but the government there is corrupt. Well, the government of Puerto Rico is not only corrupt, it's inept. It's incompetent. This is the way of leftism. You put people in charge of things who really aren't qualified because they're party loyalists or they're loyal to your particular political party. Well, that will eventually come back and bite you. And the history of leftism around the world shows us that it actually comes back and bites the people who voted in the first place. They voted for something that they were promised and then they don't get what they're promised. And eventually they find themselves going to the zoo looking for things to eat. Well, the government of Puerto Rico is suffering through a debt crisis, strapped for cash after enduring two major natural disasters. On top of that, they've reportedly lost more than $2 million in an email phishing scam directed at one of its finance officers, one of its finance directors. The Associated Press reports that Puerto Rico's government has lost more than $2.6 million after falling for an email phishing scam. The finance director of the island's industrial development company, Ruben Rivera, said in a complaint filed to police on Wednesday that the agency sent the money to a fraudulent account. The island's industrial development agency received an email from an account purporting to manage remittance payments. The government apparently transferred $2.6 million directly into the fake account, then realized what they'd done and informed the FBI. Engadget, the tech news site, says it's still unclear how officials discovered the scam, if anyone's been dismissed, or if the agency's operations have been affected because of the missing funds. The FBI is reportedly trying to help the struggling island recover the much-needed money, though it's not clear how successful those efforts will be. This is also not the first time this has happened. No, this is the second time this has happened in only 2 months. NBC News reported that the island's tourism company sent $1.5 million in January to fraudulent accounts on the U.S. mainland. The news comes amid reports that the Government Accountability Office, the GAO, is demanding better financial oversight in Puerto Rico and major anti-corruption measures targeting the island's government officials who have an intense reputation for fiscal mismanagement. According to Homeland Security Today, as of September 30th, 2019, FEMA had obligated nearly $6 billion in public assistance grants to Puerto Rico for 1,558 projects since the September 2017 hurricanes. Of this $6 billion, $5.1 billion was obligated for emergency work projects such as debris removal and temporary power restoration. But a bunch of that money is still in limbo, waiting for authorities to provide fixed plans for spending the money, as well as guarantees that the money will be spent in ways that directly benefit those affected by both 2017's Hurricane Maria and a series of earthquakes that rocked the island in December of 2019. Those twin disasters caused more than $90 million in damages, and paired with a debt burden of $70 million, created by years of local government fiscal mismanagement and a culture of government officials making promises they couldn't afford, the island is now hopelessly impoverished. Puerto Rico Representative Ramon Luis Cruz said the government of Puerto Rico is in serious fiscal crisis. It doesn't have enough money to fulfill its obligations. And he also demanded in legislation filed this week that the government launch an in-depth investigation into how more than $4 million total went missing. He says it's truly absurd that an unsustainable and unsustainable to have such a shallow and vague explanation. The island territory's problems go even deeper, though. Even deeper than its central government. Local officials, embroiled in a culture of corruption, have ground recovery efforts to a halt, often just miles from where they're most needed. Last month, residents of Ponce, a city ravaged by the December earthquakes, discovered a warehouse packed with to the rafters with bottled water, non-perishable food, diapers, and baby supplies, and first aid items that were delivered back in 2017 after Hurricane Maria, and apparently left to rot by local officials who refused to simply hand out the supplies to those who needed them. Last week, the Trump administration appointed a Puerto Rico recovery czar, who will hopefully speed along the process by providing responsible oversight. Long overdue, I say. What we have here is, I'm just going to say it, it's a little banana republic that is now a U.S. territory, and that same banana republic mentality still prevails in local government and in the regional government. And as a result, the people are suffering. These people in government who see themselves as authorities rather than servants of the people. Sound familiar? Can you imagine what it would be like here in the United States, in your town, in your community, if, let's say, tornadoes came through, destroyed all kinds of infrastructure, left many people homeless, killed lots of people, and the federal government sent FEMA, sent lots of money, sent aid to help people. And after months of living in a shelter someplace or having to move or not being able to afford to pay your bills because the business you worked for was destroyed or whatever, if you found out that the aid, which was supposed to be in your hands, had been held by some local official who didn't like the president of the United States. Bring that back home and put it in that particular framework and think about it, because that's kind of what's happening in Puerto Rico. Just think about how that would affect you and your community. What we have is petty, small, vindictive politicians who feel like it's their right to withhold something from you because they're an authority. Sick. Absolutely sick. And yet, do you see the mainstream press correcting? Do you see the mainstream press telling the truth about this? No. No, you don't. You really, really don't. And you never will. Because the mainstream press doesn't care about the truth. They have an agenda. And their agenda is destroying Trump. Speaking of destroying Trump, one quick thing before we go.
Do you think it is impossible to be a Christian and support President Trump?
Well, I'm not going to tell other Christians how to be Christians, but I will say I cannot find any compatibility between the way this president conducts himself and anything that I find in Scripture. Now, I guess that's my interpretation, but I think that's a lot of people's interpretation, and that interpretation deserves a voice.
That is former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg attacking you if you're a Christian supporter of Donald Trump. During a town hall with CNN yesterday, According to Mayor Pete, he can't seem to understand how Christians support President Trump. One of the most irritating things about Pete Buttigieg is his ability to pander and use his Christian faith to do it. He cherry picks what he believes depending on when it's convenient for him. He plays the Christian card, yet the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 24 through 27, talks explicitly about homosexuality. It says, therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women engaged in the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. He plays the Christian card but supports abortion, even though babies are continually mentioned as a reward in the Bible. He talks about Christianity and how you, as a Christian, really shouldn't be supporting Trump. But he will not stand against the wholesale murder of millions of children in the womb. Mayor Pete is deeply deceived. And he is deceiving those who follow him and who embrace him and support him. Mayor Pete doesn't have a chance of becoming president. But I somehow think that doesn't matter to him. And it doesn't matter to the progressives. All they care about is undermining the core beliefs and the traditions of America. And he's doing their work for them. That's it for me. God bless you. Have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.